Well, from time to time, we get questions that really kind of hit below the belt, and this particular one does that. This individual wants to know something about chocolate, so we're going to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The passage deals with the fact that God has created all things for us to enjoy. So I guess that's where this question comes in. In light of that truth, the question goes something like this. Does this passage say that I can eat anything I want, especially chocolate, as long as I am grateful to God, which I am? All right, so let's read the passage. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars, see it in their own consciences with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage advocate abstaining from foods, perhaps like chocolate, which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Now, if you were to stop right there, I would guess you would say that, chocolate's the way to go, or whatever you want to eat. But you have to read verse 5. And verse 5 reads this way. For it is all sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. That little detail. You actually have to be right with God. More specifically, that the word of God directs you on how you eat anything. In other words, God says, it's all there for you to enjoy. But be careful how you enjoy it. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says this in verse 8. Food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse for it if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care, lest the liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now, within the context, we know that he's dealing with idols and all those sort of things. But what he's saying is that you and I are walking in the spirit of love. That is to say that we're thinking of others, not of ourselves. Though we're free to eat all things, and though the legalism of what foods to eat and what not to eat is no longer part of our life, the law that does lead and guide and direct our life is the law of love, which is really very liberating, because you want to do this, because you love others so much. We understand, according to this passage, and once again, though it's talking specifically about idols, it's saying that you have to care about others when you eat. So let me say this. When you're sitting down and eating and somebody else wants a piece of chocolate, and you do, you give that up because you love them. Or perhaps you may throw it away because you love them. Your desire is to help them. Never deify yourself. There's another passage that rings true with this, and if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us this in verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Okay, so you may be eating lots of chocolate. And though it may be lawful to do that, it may not be profitable to do that. Not all things edify. It may not be that which builds up. You know, I think one of the things that especially parents have to remember is that they have obligations. And their health has a lot to do with fulfilling those obligations. Let no one seek his own good. Well, that kind of rules out those cravings, doesn't it? But that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market, without asking questions for conscience sake. Once again, it's talking in the context of the idols that were sacrificed, or the meat that was sacrificed to idols. For the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. Now, at this juncture, we also come into the realm of the aspect of courtesy. And if somebody's inviting you out, Scripture seems to be conveying that you be courteous. You may not like necessarily even the foods that they're serving. It may not be a part of your diet, but today it is. Because today you're not thinking of yourself, you're thinking of others. If anyone should say to you, this meat is sacrificed to idols, well, don't eat it. If you know that there's something inappropriate in it, then don't get involved with something that is inappropriate. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. And why is my freedom judged by another man's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning for what I give thanks? Verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it that God would be glorified. Now, once again, if your health is the central issue, that's the wrong reason. If your gluttony is a central issue, that's the wrong reason. It's to glorify God. And even in eating, you and I have opportunities to glorify God. Can we eat anything? Absolutely. But that's not what directs us. What directs us is the law of liberty, in which we want to demonstrate the love of God to those around us. And so as we're sitting at the table, we begin to think how we can demonstrate love towards one another. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or the church of God, just as also I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. And I guess depending on how you see that chocolate is profiting, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What's interesting is you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in particular, and you see them coming together for the Lord's Supper, you realize that the whole aspect of courtesy comes into play. And if you just take a moment and pick up with me in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17, it reads this way. In giving this instruction, I do not praise you, verse 17, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions which exist among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, in order that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper, watch the phrase, first. And the one is hungry and another is drunk. You know, it's very easy to just eat to please ourselves. But we're not doing that anymore. And the Lord's Supper is what a wonderful picture of this. What's even more interesting about this chapter is his conclusion at the end. And if you look with me, he says this in verse 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, look at the courtesy there. Wait for one another. Wow. For if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment. Remaining matters I shall arrange. Courtesy interwoven into the Lord's Supper, because once again, the Lord's Supper is that which we celebrate, the body of Christ and the unity of the Spirit. And where does that unity come from? Well, Philippians 2 says, look, if you want to have unity, be of the same mind, hold others in higher esteem than yourself. So we see that come into play even with chocolates. Okay to eat chocolates? Well, yeah, it's okay. But you're guided and directed by the Word of God and by prayer. Father, we want to give you thanks for your word that guides us and directs us into all truth. We are so thankful that we don't have to be confused about these things. We can walk in great confidence in freedom, in liberty. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.